Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Well, we have quite a word today. The Lord has actually given me about, we'll see how long this one goes. I have 5 pages. So this might be part one, part two, okay? And then we have, I have like 4 more messages after this. And so God is just really speaking loud and clear. And these might be things that you've like heard in your life. But I'm here to tell you that no matter how much I've sat and how many messages all of my life, I'm now 40, almost 41 in a few months. And I need to hear it again. I need to hear it again because I've got to remind myself. We do not come to hear from a man, a woman, a black, a white, a brown person. We don't come to hear from any of us, right? Who do we come to hear from? Jesus. And Jesus comes to fill us, to equip us, because we cannot operate in this world without the Holy Spirit working through us. And so, the message title is Pursuing Holiness. It's so interesting because I feel like the world, I hear the world, I see the world, and it's opposing to what is holy. I mean, let's talk about some social things right now. They just came out with that new nasty song by a lady named, I don't even want to say her name because I don't want you to go look it up. I don't want to promote it. But it is a disgusting, nasty song. And I have teenagers, so I had to go and I had to read the lyrics because I wanted to know what's going on in the world where my kids live. And I have to tell you something. I almost threw up while I read it because it was so disgusting and demeaning of a woman to talk that dirty. I could hear the slithering of Satan in my ear. And I'm here, and everyone is calling it good. And everyone is praising this person. And I said to myself, oh God, this is what our world has come to. This is where our world is running down these lanes and saying, good is bad and bad is good. And God is saying, my holiness has been ignored. My name has been mocked. And people call themselves Christians, and yet they act the same as the world. And the Lord is challenging us as a church to get back on track. Isn't that just like God to be gracious and merciful? I mean, he could come back right now and smite us just like he did back in the Bible, but he didn't. He's giving us a chance to redirect ourselves again, to strip ourselves of those things in our hearts that have been built up, distractions and plagues of this world that have come and terrorized our hearts. For years and years and years, these are not new things. They're just being exposed. There's now no, like, hidden agenda. It's just, like, there. And so God is saying, you can see it plain and clear, but if you're not looking through spiritual eyes, you're going to miss it because it's my holiness that covers these things. You see, holiness, what does holiness even mean? We think of that and we think, you know, I know like back in the day, I would think of holy as like, you know, the Pope or you know, maybe a church institution. But actually, holiness has a deep meaning. You ready for it? If you're taking notes, it is to be set apart for a holy purpose. The chief attribute of God and quality to be developed in his people is holiness or holy. Did you know that he wants you to be equipped to be holy? We think of God as holy, but God is saying, no, 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 you actually can be holy. You have been called and set apart for such a time as this. And so in the Old Testament, the word holiness means to cut or to separate. I love that. It also means that God shows himself as an individual set apart from creation, and that everything that he embodies, God of heaven and earth, God the Alpha and the Omega, God Jehovah Sitkanu, God the one who sees all and knows all, God the one who stopped the ocean from entering into the earth, God who breathed and the earth existed, this same God is holy. This same God embodies everything that contains to holiness. And he separates himself from that which is defiled. It cannot be in his presence. So many times we think of sin and we're like, well, if I'm sinful, then I'm still Christian. Yes, but your sin separates you from God. So if you are a Christian and you are in sin, you right now are in a very dangerous place. And God is calling it, you and I, back to holiness and repentance. The land is unsettled right now. And God is saying, there's nothing wrong with this, because question yourself. Find yourself. Are you in a holy place? See, the moral and the spiritual aspects of being holy is what God created us to step into. That God anointed us. When we said yes to God, you go, I am far from holy, Pastor Jess. I'm a hot mess. When I said yes to Jesus, I was still doing drugs. When I said yes to Jesus, I was sleeping with my husband, or my boyfriend at the time, now my husband. When I said yes to Jesus, I was cussing like a sailor. When I said yes, well, guess what? Jesus said, come as you are, because he is holy. He encompasses everything good and holy and just and merciful. So he doesn't expect you to have it all together. That's the beauty of him. But then when we begin to step into who he is, and then I start hearing the word of God, and I begin to edify my spirit, and I go, ooh, that rap song I used to listen to is just not good anymore. Have you ever done that? Okay, I always listened to hip-hop when I was young. So now that my kids are, like, at that age, I'm like, all right, I'm going to show you some of the stuff I listen to. And I'm like, oh, never mind. Oh, never mind. That was really bad. I don't remember it being that bad. Like, and I just remember we even turned on a movie for them the other day. We're like, this was the movie. Like, this was me and Dad's time. The 90s were the best. And all of a sudden, my kids were like, all right, we're ready, we're ready. And then I'm like, oh, never mind that topic. Never mind. I didn't realize that was in that movie. And you realize my soul was seared back then. I was not spiritually in a place of holiness that I am now, after time with the Lord, after time in his word, after learning to hear his voice. Guys, it takes time. So be patient with yourself, but that's why you're here today. That's why you're listening today, because you're about to grow up. You're about to get a lesson on holiness and how to step into something new and to allow God to do something through you. So in the New Testament, I love what holiness means. It means it is a common Hebrew word or Greek signifies God-likeness or a godliness. It captures the sense of the primary word of holiness, godliness. Holiness, godliness. Well, I can't be God, Pastor Jess. No, you will never be perfect, but we can be like God. We can strive and learn from him. When I read the word and I see how Jesus handled people, when I see how Jesus handled rejection, when I see how Jesus handled persecution, when I see how Jesus handled money changers, when I see how Jesus handled the sinner, I can look at that and go, okay, all right. If he did it, I could do it. Because he said he's left all authority to me here on earth when he went and sat at the right hand of Jesus, of his Father, right? So we've already learned this in Ephesians, that we are the righteousness of Christ, that we here on this earth, we carry his authority. If you did not get those messages and you're new to Women Rock, welcome, number one. But number two, go back to the archives and start listening to the Ephesian messages, because they will change your life. They will change your life. So then how do I live holy? That's where we're going to get into. How do I live holy? For some of you, this is going to be kind of like one of those tests you take. You know, like you take a test and you check where you're at. I love those tests. I took the Disney one, and it's like I went to Disneyland. You remember when we used to get to go to Disneyland? I miss Disneyland. And I remember there was like this test, and you take all these tests and find out what princess you are. And then you don't like your result, you change your test, right? You're like, you go back, you're like, oh, I don't like that princess. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to change my answer. Well, this, you can't change your answer, okay? So this message is going to be a heart test. And you're going to see where you're at, and you're going to gauge and go, ooh, I'm a little off. I got to get myself back on track. Or, ooh, okay, I'm in this, I'm good here, but I need to fix this part of me. And listen, today I want you to think of the word of God as something that challenges your flesh. I've heard it said that pastors shouldn't be all up in your face. Well, go find another church, because I'm all up in your face. And I always say, I will kick your butt into heaven if I have to, you know, hopefully more gently than harsh. And I will make sure that the enemy doesn't take you or your family out as best as I can. And that means that I'm going to have to get in your face about some things. And we're going to have to talk about some controversial things. What? No, the church should never. Guess what? The church doesn't talk about anything God doesn't talk about. If it says it in my word, I have to talk about it. And there's been a whole denomination that has skipped chapters in Acts when it talks about the Holy Spirit. And I feel that they have now weakened the body of Christ for these days and for this time. We at The Rock will not take or remove from the Bible. We will go line upon line and precept upon precept, and we will teach you what the Word of God says. And so we're going to talk about what God talks about. We're going to get into it, because did you know there's nothing new under the sun? Pretty cool, right? So when you feel like, oh my goodness, this has never happened before, take a second and go, actually, it probably has, because there's nothing new under the sun. Satan doesn't have any new tricks up his sleeve. He doesn't know how to take you out in a new way. All he does is just change the circumstance, but it's still the same attack. So keep your eyes open and get ready, because your holiness is going to keep you strong. Your holiness and your striving to be like God is going to bless you and your family's lives. How do I begin to live holy? Number one, you live to bring God glory. What is glory? That sounds really like supernatural. That sounds like a whole bunch of Christianese words, right? Like, I don't walk down the street and be like, glory, glory, glory. No, but we should. We should radiate God's glory. Our lives should be like a cloak that we put on. I wore this. This is our new Women Rock shirt, by the way. And one of them. And this is like our coat. And when I got saved, I was just with all my flaws, just with all my sin, just with all of that. But when I said yes to God, guess what happened? I began to put on a new identity. I began to put on grace. I began to put on mercy. I began to put on holiness. And all of a sudden, my life represented God's goodness and his glory, not just to me, because he reveals himself to me daily, but to those around me. What? I don't have that much power. Yes, you do. You see, God living in you is a witness to everyone around you. We represent Jesus and bring him goodness and glory. Glory means goodness. Isn't that cool? It's just that simple. Goodness. You represent God's goodness. You say, I don't feel like I represent God's goodness. I'm not a good representation. That's okay. We're all growing in this. Give yourself a break. All right? We represent Jesus. And in Matthew 15, go with me there, 15, 13 through 16, we're going to talk about this. I have so many notes. We'll see how far we get. All right? Can we just take our times on this? Because this is called a Bible study. So we're actually going to have a lot of Bible involved in this. This isn't like a three-point message to make you happy and go out the door and you still live how you do. This is a three-point message that's going to make you question your life. Number one, Matthew 5:13. You live for his glory. You are the salt of the earth. You're like, what? No, not me. But you are. But the salt loses its flavor. How shall it be seasoned? I don't know about you, but I've been stuck in my kitchen a whole lot lately, the last 6 months. And I was on this diet plan, and I was not allowed to use salt on my food. I did not realize how much I love salt until nothing had flavor. And I had to try and find other ways to flavor. I mean, cilantro is like my number one flavor and garlic powder. But I have to, it's still not the same. And then one day, my son, who loves himself some salt, sometimes I'm like, you're not allowed to use a salt shaker anymore because it's really unhealthy for you. And he put a little salt on my food, not knowing I wasn't allowed to have it. And I was at the dinner table, like, what about Bob? Have you seen that scene in What About Bob, that movie where he's like, this is so good, this is so good. And Dan is just like, this is normal. Like, why are you thinking this is so good? And I'm like, I don't know. And Titus is like, well, I put salt on it. And I was like, darn it. But who cares? And I was blowing it for like 2 days. All right, but if you don't have salt, how do you season salt, right? Okay, that's what it's saying. It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and tampered underfoot by men. You are the light. You, look at the girl next to you, look at the girl in your home, and say, or point to yourself and say, I am the light. So hold on, we just learned two things right now. You are the salt and you are the light. Say, I am the salt. I am the light of God's goodness. I just need you to get that, let that sink in for a second, okay? So you are the light of the world, and a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light or shine before men that they may see the good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Woo! I love this. Let your light so shine before men. Now listen, don't be all diva or feminist about this. When the Bible says men, he's talking about humanity, all right? So listen, if the men can be the bride of Christ, we can be men in this verse. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Hold on, wait. You're telling me that if I'm the salt, if I'm the light, that men will see it, that they will see my good works, and that they will glorify my Father in heaven? Yes. Your life is leading people to Christ because they're watching you. They're watching you. The other day, my son was doing something stupid, and I was like, and he was like, I just want to do that to you. God's watching you. Where are you at? Is your life radiating the glory of God? We have to ask ourselves those questions. Salt and light are essential characters for kingdom citizenship. Essential characters. The word essential now, it just bounces off the pages at me. Because we've been told for so long that the Church of the Living God is not essential. But I'm here to tell you, oh girlfriend, you are more than essential. You are essential and you are a kingdom citizen. And this earth cannot be flavored without you. This earth cannot have the light of Christ without you. That your life has a purpose and a plan and a destiny. And that your glory that you are radiating for our King is going to bless people. You see, the light and the care are essential kingdom citizenship. We believe that we should live with goodness that infiltrates our secular society. You know, I said this many times in the Message version. It says that the world is not perpendicular or peripheral to the church, but the church is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. If we could really believe that, if we could really grasp that for a second, that this world, this dark, nasty world outside these doors, outside your homes, needs you, and that you carry and embody and encompass the glory of Jesus Christ. And that everything you touch is anointed by God. What? Yes. Because when God's anointing fills your mouth so you can speak the oracles of God over your children, over your families, over your finances, over jobs, over situations you cannot control because this world is falling apart. But our God is not falling apart. He is on the throne. He is ever present. He is more present than he's ever been. And he is waiting for his church to awaken and to stand and to rise and walk out his glory. When we've been given something and we don't use it, it's such a shame. And God is saying that we are to infiltrate secular society, not let them infiltrate us. I turn the news on, and I hear about all the racial tension, all the different sides to it. Okay, but let me say this. What about kingdom? I hear no kingdom in any of it. Because when we begin to apply this, two, the things that are tearing us apart, then what does God say? But I sat at my word one day, and I asked the Lord about some conversations I had had with people. And he said this to me. He said, these are all distractions from my coming back. The enemy is distracting society instead of bringing unity. I'm about unity. I'm not about divisiveness. Listen, do not fight amongst yourselves. You are allowed to disagree. You are allowed to not agree with each other, but you are not allowed to separate. You are not allowed to bite and devour each other. You are not allowed to rip each other apart. That is ungodly. You are totally allowed to have your own opinion, and you are allowed to be that person, but you are not allowed to tear each other up. Because God's glory doesn't rip people apart, it unites people together. And that people that are different can be together in the same room and worship the same God who loves him and loves her and loves the black and loves the white and loves the Hispanic and loves the Spanish and loves, I don't know, all the different cultures that we have here in America, especially here in California. If you're listening to me from somewhere else, this room is full of everything right now. And we love each other. And I want to remind you all of that. Because before all of this broke out, we loved each other. And let's not forget that we love each other still. And that people can agree to disagree but still love each other. That's the glory of God. Right? That's the glory of God. Let's allow God to take us to new levels with loving each other again. Let's allow God to comfort our hearts when our hearts are wounded and broken. And when one of my brothers or sisters are hurting and broken, I've had many conversations with brokenness over the racial tensions, over coronavirus. I can't tell you how many people have lost family members. And we hear their story and their hearts are broken. I myself, my father died in the middle of this. We weren't allowed to have a funeral forever. We finally just had to break the rules and go have a funeral because it was ridiculous. And at some point, Church of the Living God, we have to be the church again. And his glory has to radiate through us. That those things that he committed to love us in, that we have to commit to love each other in. You see, we are the light and we are the salt. When the world wants to bite and devour each other, guess what the church does? Says, no, I refuse to get involved because I will not bite nor devour, but I will stand for righteousness. So I'm not saying we don't stand for righteousness, but what I am saying is that we stand for righteousness when the word of God backs us and when we do what God says. You're going, oh, wow, that's a totally different perspective. Yeah, absolutely. So what does that look like in our day and culture? Well, that means that I'm going to defend my black brothers and sisters. And I'm going to say, your life totally matters. It's always mattered. And you're important to me. And that I love you with all of my heart. And that those foolish things that this world has placed on your lives and your children's lives and the generations before, in Jesus' name, they're going to get broken. And we're going to begin as the church to show people how to move forward from this and to love each other in new ways, in deeper paths, and begin to speak life and not death into the situations that none of us can control. But you know what we can do? We can build up and we can speak the word and love over, and the kingdom of God begins to rest on these matters and the enemy gets silenced in them. You see, God is what changes things. And the heart of man is what needs to begin to change. What happens when we put on God's glory? Our hearts begin to look like his and not like mine. Remember I said in the beginning, you're going to come, you're going to be like, I'm a hot mess. I don't think I have the glory. You don't. I didn't either. And I still don't to this day, guys. I mess up all the time because I have a gracious God who puts me in check and says, remember, you're the salt. Remember, you're the light. Remember that you're a city on a hill that cannot be quenched. You are this. What is salt used for? Think about it. Salt is used to preserve. I've gone to Mexico many, many times on mission trips. I've never got to go just for vacation, so I'd like to do that one day. But I went on many mission trips, and we'd eat at the taco stands, right? Believe me, they were not El Gato tacos. They were actually the real tacos, okay? And we did almost eat cat tacos. And we had those big meat was hanging. And what was around the meat? They roll it in salt. And then they cut it off, and they make the best tacos in the whole entire world, right? And so I was like, what is on the meat? I'm thinking, you know, me, snobby white girl from San Bernardino. And I'm thinking, ew. Are those bugs on there? And they said, oh, even if the bugs land on there, like, it doesn't matter because the salt preserves it. It actually cleanses it. It makes it pure. It keeps the meat. And I'm just like, what? And they were like, yeah, sometimes they don't even have to put it in the refrigerator. They can just leave it out for a couple days. And I'm just like, this is like in my head, right? My American mind is like, what? You want me to eat that? I don't think so. And all the kids in the youth group are watching me. So I had to eat it. And so it was the best thing I'd ever experienced. It was the best taco I'd ever experienced. That meat was so good. Why? Because it was preserved by salt. And God is saying the church is preserving the kingdom. We are the ambassadors in these situations of light and salt over something that is bitter and broken and divided. Guys, we've got to be the conduit for love. We've got to be the conduit for God's glory. We've got to live our lives out the way God has asked us to live it out. Mark 9, 49 through 50. For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Whew! Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? And how will the salt of yourselves have peace with one another? That's what we're seeing right now. There's no peace. But guess what? Is there peace in this room right now? Yeah. Why? Because we're stepping into the glory that we carry. There's peace when we come into the house of God. There's rest in our spirit, man, when our world is falling apart. You can walk through those doors and you know that God's presence is with you and that you carry the glory of God with you wherever you go. Listen, carry Jesus this week. Love one another and bring peace to things that are on fire. You see, the fire brings purification and salt brings, preserves. But it also preserves corruption. Whew, wait, what? There are so many corrupt things in our world right now. And it's amazing to me in 6 months how fast these things are happening. I have never in my life known about the child sex slavery like on the level that I've been learning about it lately. I mean, you want to talk about breaking your heart and more slavery on earth than we've ever had ever before, and no one's talking about it. It's a little odd, right? How about all the deaths and the murders that are going on that I literally, when you read the San Bernardino Sun, I can't even tell you, oh, another one died. So many murders and death. When we called the mayor about, you know, should we be outside? Should we be inside? He said, I'm sorry, I'm not sending the police after you guys because I have so many murders going on in the streets and I have so many drug abuse and homelessness. I cannot worry about the church right now. The church is supposed to help me. I need your help. And see, the church is the salt and the light of the earth. The enemy is trying to close us down and shut us down and shut us up so that we cannot get out there and help because God came to help and to save and bring unity and life back into our society. Guys, the world is a mess, but God is not. The world is a hot mess, but God is on the throne. The world is lost, but God says, I have come to find them and give them a purpose and a new name. When we judge each other, be careful. Because anyone can change. And with God, anyone can change the worst person on the earth. When they get a hold of who Christ is, when they understand the glory that they carry, they begin to say, I put it away, that old man, and I stepped into the glory of who I am because Christ that lives in me is strong and great. You see, Luke 11:33 says that no one, when he has lit a lamp, you are the lamp. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, ooh, what are you looking at? Your body also is full of darkness. What are you putting in? I had to start turning off the news because I was getting so discouraged. I was getting so beat up every day. It got to the point where my husband's like, you're not allowed to turn the TV on. You're not allowed to go on YouTube. You're not allowed. And I'm just like, well, okay, now I'm really being challenged in the submitting to my husband thing. Like, because I was curious. Like, I wanted to know. Like, I could feel my flesh feeding off everything. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, I need to clear out your eye gate. What are you putting into your soul so that I then can bring out my love that covers all of this? And I've already done the job. They just need to be reminded of what I've already done for them. You see, allow yourself to be reminded that God's glory is living on the inside of you and that you are the salt and the light. Therefore, take heed, verse 35, that the light which is in you is not darkness. Sometimes do you ever feel like, ooh, did I think wrong? Ooh, I don't know. What was that inside of me? But let's talk about what darkness is. I want to go over the definition of what darkness is. Because I thought that this was a really interesting, it means darkness is that it arises, whew, which scares me because it's kind of like, ooh, it arises like evil up from the bottom. Arises from an error. It arises from ignorance and disobedience. Oh, that's a whole nother message. I think Dr. V would be a good one on that one, the disobedience message. Willful blindfulness and rebellion. Darkness is an evil system, absolutely opposed to light. That means it cannot ever have light on it. I think I had salt and light pictures behind me. Did I have them? I don't know. I asked them for them, but I don't know if I ever got them. Did I have them? Okay, this is salt and this is light. And when you see the light breaking through in the morning, have you guys ever gotten up early enough for that? Some of you are morning people. And when it comes through and it begins to break open, there's something that happens. Like, I don't know, I go outside because my dog always has to pee, like right when, like, dark outside. And now the light is coming up. And so I'm waiting for her. I'm like, hurry up, Lucy. Hurry up. I don't want anyone to see me in my, like, jammies. And she's just, like, sniffing everything, and it's dark outside, and I'm hoping there's no coyotes. And then all of a sudden, I see the light break through. And you know what my spirit man says every morning? Good morning, girlfriend. I love you. I love you, daughter. It's a new day, a new plan, and a new purpose. And it almost feels like everything that I went to bed with is now gone and I can start fresh. See, light shines in the dark places. Allow yourself to be the light in someone's life. Allow yourself to be the change in someone's world. I have a really cool story. You want to hear it? Many trees appear to be healthy a lot of times. Have you ever driven up to Big Bear and you see all the trees? Well, right now I'm hoping they're still there after these fires. But you go up there, and we were just up in Big Bear, and they seem to be very healthy when you see them in the summer. But in the winter, they lose all of their leaves and they fall off. And sometimes we find what was under the lush and the green and the summer foliage, there was a parasite plant called mistletoe. How many of us like mistletoe? We hang it from our doorways, right? We always think it's a good thing. But actually, did you know that mistletoe sucks the life out of trees and kills them? And so, yeah, so I knew this, right? After I read this story, I went up to Big Bear. I was like, oh, we should cut that off that tree. We should. Dan's like, you're crazy. I'm like, there's mistletoe all over these trees. And I was worried for the trees because it sucks the life and the vitality right out of them. But we as Christians sometimes have our own hidden sins. Whew. Which, like the mistletoe, guys, sucks the life and the spiritual vitality right out of us. Although not always evident in times of outward spiritual health and fruitfulness. You know, I have to tell you, right before this pandemic, I was like, God is moving. Every service was growing. There was an energy in worship. There was like, we were like beginning to grow and see ourselves, see people's lives change. And then boom, stop. And then all of a sudden, I started to see some dark things in people. I started to have weird conversations, and I was like, but I thought you were really saved. Have you had those conversations with people you thought were saved? But I thought you loved God. You're cursing what he just, what? You're, I don't understand. And you see, when we're in these spiritual highs, we can not even know what's inside. But when we're stripped of all of that, the lights, the church, all of it, you were in your own presence. And then all of a sudden that is evident in the outward times of spiritual health and the fruitfulness. We must always examine ourselves in those small moments. These are times of examination for us. Often seen, there are parasites and sinful habits that have sapped our vitality. And we must also remind us that we, just because they are not apparent, does not mean that in another season of our life, God will not reveal them for us to be seen. God wants us to look inside today because he expects us to walk out the glory. He expects us to step into who we are. But there are things inside that maybe are just places that we didn't even know were there. And maybe through these past 6 months, you're going, actually, I've learned some things about myself. There's some dark places I didn't like about myself, and I had to change and go and bring that to God. I've had to ask the Lord, where do these deep places come from? And the Lord says, from here, from there, and he reveals that to you. Allow those moments to be there for you, because when you allow to do those heart searches, then the glory of God can radiate through you, and you truly can step into being the salt and the light of the earth. God is asking us, how do we begin to be holy? Number one, we give God the glory. Number two, we be loyal to God. Well, isn't that just a given if I'm a Christian? Well, you would think so. But we play around. We have one foot in the world, and we have another foot in church. And then we say, oh, but we love God, but it's okay for me to do this sin. We love God. Oh, amen, praise the Lord. Oh, can you pray for me? All right, sister, thank you so much. And then we leave and we're like telling the opposite to our family members. And you're not a walking vessel. You're not a walking witness. And you actually are being disloyal to your creator. Matthew 6:24 talks about this. Let's go there, Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What is mammon? Mammon's like an Old Testament word, right? Mammon, it represents money. What does money do? buys us things, right? What does money do? Provides us with things. So God is saying, you can either have what you desire and what your flesh longs for, or you can have me. Which one is it? And those are serious questions. Those are like, well, I think I would want you. Well, what if your house was taken away from you? What if your cars were stripped from you? What if your job was taken? Would he still be God? Would he still be just? Would he still be holy? I'm here to tell you today, he would. If he sent you to hell, he would still be just and holy because he's God. You see, how can you make those statements, Pastor Jess? Because remember, he encompasses holiness. And the wrath of God is not to be played with. We're going to talk about this for a second. Let's go there. Being driven and hungry for money can mess with us. I've known many people that are money hungry. Have you ever met money hungry people? They will like push you to the side to go and get more money. And those are not fun relationships to be in. Hold on one second, I need a sip. So, many times you hear things like this as pastors. I mean, I can't even tell you, probably half of you in this room would say this to me. I can't wait to win the lottery. Because if I win the lottery, I'm going to give it to the church. I'm going to pay off the missions. I'm going to give it to this person and that person. And guess what happens? Some do win the lottery. And they don't even give it to the church. They don't give it to missions. They do not even come back to church. So maybe you're not winning the lottery because God loves you too much because you can't handle it. You see, God knows the intent of our hearts. We don't even know it, but he does. And a good God protects us from ourselves. Isn't that gracious of him? I think about my kids. They think they want something. And I'm like, no, because I know that's not good for them, right? And then they get mad at me. Have you ever, teenage moms, can I get an amen? No, you are not getting a TikTok. No, you are not going to be on Instagram. No, I'm sorry, but you are not going to do. And then they hate you. Well, guess what? You're doing your job because you have to protect them from all those evil things that are coming after them. And one day they will be grateful when they stand before God and they had a mom that stood in the gap and said no. No to the sin of this world that wants to steal your heart and your thought and your mind. I have been unpopular for many years, and I'm totally okay with it. Just yesterday, I had a situation with one of my kids, and I walked away like, I hate being the bad guy. And God was like, why? That's your job. Nobody else can do that job but you. And I was like, yeah, all right. I just got to talk myself back into it. Listen, we've got to be these people that are loyal to God. Because my kids won't be there the day I step before God. And he says, why didn't you, as a parent, step in and stand for righteousness? But you open the door and let anything go in your home. I was like, ooh, I can't. Well, it's Dan's fault. No, you can't blame it on Dan. Well, it's the kids' fault. They talk to me. Nope, you can't blame it on them. We, women of the Most High God, we set the atmospheres in our homes. And guess what? Our homes need to be loyal to our God. What needs to change in our homes? What foot do we need to put down? What line in the sand needs to be drawn? This is holy ground. And so in this house, this is how things are going to operate. Some of you are allowing your older children that are grown to be living with you with their girlfriends that they're not married to. Let's talk about it. I don't care if you leave the church. Everybody already has. I'm good. I could care less what you think anymore. Because one day, someone needs to tell you that sin is sin. And you saying yes to that condones it. You say yes to hell and no to God right there. You just drew a line in the sand and showed them that what the world says is more important than what God says. And you might be old school, and you might not fit in, and you might not be popular, but let me tell you something. You should be more afraid of God than you are of man, because it is him that sends your soul to hell. Let's talk about it. I'm sorry, I'm getting in your face a little bit again. Do you still love me? God has a plan for us. We have to be in fear. We're going to get to that point, so I'm not going to go there yet. All right, I've got a little ahead of myself. We're being loyal to God. It's forsaking my own ambition and forsaking my own desires, forsaking the things that I want and my body and my heart long for. Because I love God so much that I have to say no to myself. No to the things that make me comfortable. No to the places that could lead me down maybe a path. I haven't gone down that path yet, but I see where it could take me. So I'm not going to even go there. You see, being loyal to God, it may be a lonely place for you women. You may lose friends. You may lose family members. I'll tell you right now, you will lose friends and family members. You will. You will not be popular. You will be called names. You will be persecuted for Christ's name's sake. But as long as you are loyal to him, the glory of God will be radiating through you. Because when their life falls apart, when their world is a mess, they will know that they could come back to you and you will be able to speak life back into them. And that you have been constant and steady in very rocky times. And that you stood your ground and you didn't play games. And that that was a place that you maybe didn't understand in that moment. But now you do understand because you need God. And they will come to you and you will be able to be a witness of God's goodness because of your loyalty to Christ. People are watching that. People are watching that. I had a friend when I was growing up. I had a lot of friends when I was growing up. But one of my friends was like best friends with their mom, like best friends. And I remember I would always yell at my mom because we didn't get along at all. And I would yell, "Why don't you just be my friend?" And my mom would tell me, "Girl, I don't need to be your friend. You have enough of those. I need to be your mom." And I hated it. Ooh, I hated it. In fact, one day I told her I hated her. And I was so bad. I was so bad. Believe me, I already wrote her a letter and asked her for forgiveness and I actually gave it to her. And my mom is an amazing woman. And I'm grateful for her because I now look at my mom and she's my friend. See, she gets to be my friend now. But back then, she couldn't be my friend. And I look at my friend and her mom, they aren't even friends at all. They fight all the time. They're not even around each other anymore. That relationship is messed up because there was something that happened there, that there was just too much of a friendship that became not steady in the things of God. And then it wasn't played out and it wasn't walked out. And God is calling us to walk this out. This is not fun. These are not fun places to be. But when we are loyal to God and raising our children, loving our husbands, loving our neighbor as ourselves, what does that look like? It means we don't see color, guys. It means that we don't get mad at each other because the differences of how we speak or how we talk or how we divide or who we vote for. I don't care who you vote for, forever you want. I still love you. Do you see what I'm saying? When we step into these places, we're covered. We're loyal to God because God didn't come on earth and be like, "Well, you got to clean that up before I love you. And you got to fix that before I love you." No, what did he do? He said, "You're a hot mess. Let me take it on and let me die for you." That's who God is and that's who's living in you. Isn't this good news? Such good news. Be loyal to our God. A Persian legend tells us of a king. And the king needed a faithful servant. He had chose between two different candidates for the office. He took both at fixed wages and told them to fill their baskets with water from a nearby well, saying that he would come in the evening to inspect their work. After dumping one or two buckets of water into the baskets, one of the men said, "What is the point of this useless work? As soon as we pour in the water, it runs out of the sides." The other answered, "But we have our wages, haven't we? The use is the master's business, not ours." He understood something. He's like, "I'm getting paid. I don't care what he asked me to do." That's what he's saying. I'm going to do this, and this is fool's work. I'm not wasting my time anymore," replied the complainer, throwing down his bucket, and he went away. The other man continued until he had drained the well. Looking down into the well, he saw something shiny at the bottom of it that proved to be a diamond ring. "Now I see the use of pouring the water out of the basket," he explained. If the basket had not been emptying the water, it would have brought up the ring and the well would have been dry and we would have never known the ring was there. when God's blessings does not fully coincide with your expectations, church, remember and wait until the well is dry. And there may be something precious at the bottom of the well. And when you remain loyal to your God, then there's something precious waiting for you. It's called the crown of heaven. And he is waiting, so he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And the crown he will receive in heaven. Isn't that good news that our loyalty to Christ begins to do something new inside of us? I'm looking at the time right now. I might need to end it. Yep, I got to end. I got 3 more points. So next week, follow up. You see, how do I live holy? I want you to walk out of this building today and I want you to go, well, I'm salt and I'm light. That's how I live holy. How do I live holy? I'm loyal. I'm a loyal, faithful servant of the Most High God. That's how you live. We've got some more coming for you next week. Next week, I'm going to ruffle some feathers. Next week, the scriptures that God brought to me are going to put the fear of heaven on you, okay? Because God talks about our souls, and God talks about holiness and how they compare to each other. So if you got something good from God today, let's give him a hand. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.